The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Well. What an interesting day in the markets. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. That's the way to be unemotional about a market, you know. It's impossible as a human, you know, to be unemotional. But I often find that word interesting. It's often a good way of you. Rather than say, oh, my God, it's a shit show, just say, oh, this is very interesting, the reaction here in the markets today. Very interesting indeed. Very interesting. Observe. That's what you need to do. It's observe. I often thought that Trump, he's a king of chaos, isn't he? Absolute idiot. And I was thinking today, I bet, well, there's two people I can name, right, that will benefit from these attacks going on in the Middle East. Andrew Mountbatten, former Prince Andrew, ridiculous titles, Prince, King, Queen, just nonsense to think of Disney films. And Peter Mandelson, I bet they're so glad this is happening. It's just dominating all the headlines, isn't it? For a while, for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Prince Andrew, was on the front pages everywhere, wasn't he? I bet he's so glad. He's going, carry on with the war. Carry on with the war. And Mandelson. But they're both thinking, yes, yes, at last. Something has taken me off the front page. And then I thought, hang on. Who else is this a distraction for? Yes, our friend Trump. Let's be honest, right? There's still lots of pages in the Epstein files that haven't been released. What better way to distract from that than start a war in the Middle East? And let's be honest, if you listen to the reasons the administration give for starting the war, none of them are coherent. None of them are consistent with each other. So far, I've heard a regime change. So they've killed about 40 of them. And then someone else says, not a regime change. They want to get rid of Iran's capability of nuclear weapons. I thought they'd done that. I thought they did that a couple of months back, didn't they, with the bomb busters, what are they called? So that wasn't a reason. Then I heard Marco Rubio say, oh, it's to get rid of Iran's capability and their ballistic missiles and their navy. So he gave the third reason. And then he said, oh, by the way, we had to undertake these preemptive strikes because they knew Israel was going to attack and Iran would probably attack US bases. So they did a preemptive strike. Why didn't they just tell Israel not to strike? Because essentially, the US was in the middle of talks with Iran about their nuclear capability and weapons and everything. So I don't understand, who's the boss here? Netanyahu or Trump? We know it's Trump. So what's the reason he went ahead with this attack? Because if you're looking at, you know, the rule of law globally, this is an illegal attack. And so even though I hate Sir Starmer for saying, well, we did not back them, to be honest, there's no good reason for it, apart from Iran being a constant menace, because the reasons weren't, I mean, because these reasons could have been there weeks ago, months ago. Why now? Why is it happening now? I don't understand. So anyway, the markets are, you know, falling out of bed. And we know what Trump said. He said this could last for four weeks or more. And we know the gameplay now from Trump. You know, he ramps it up, then de-ramps, escalates, then de-escalates. You know, beats his chest like a gorilla, then chickens out. Taco trade. Trump always chickens out. So when he says 4 weeks or more, I'm expecting to be a lot less than that. You know, he's saying, oh, we'll carry on this for as long as we need to. Because if he does carry on for 4 weeks or more, the markets will melt down more than they are now. This is just the start of it. And I've often said over and over again, the only thing that Trump respects or is, you know, calls him to judgment in the markets. That's what checks him, the markets. You know, he's a champion of the markets. He constantly mentions the markets. Stock market's going to double, all this stuff. Whenever the market's a new high, he says, down to him, it's fantastic. If the markets start tanking, and bear in mind there are midterm elections coming in November, and it critters the economy, then, you know, he's going to get less popular in the polls. And already, he's showing to be quite unpopular. It's not looking good for him. So he doesn't want the markets to crash. And secondly, there are American soldiers dying in this war. It's a very unpopular war. You know, Middle Eastern wars always have been. America's a very insular country. We don't need to get involved in that over there. Why are we sending our troops over there to get killed? We don't need that. I think already there's been, what, 6 fatalities on the American side? So you pit that together, a loss of life. America's fighting a war they don't need to fight in. And let's be honest, they don't need to. And the market's tanking. And this is not going to last long. And the US markets are only just starting to feel the pain. Yesterday, the American markets didn't sell off. The Europeans did. Markets felt sell off. It's the first day they've sold off. Let's look at the American markets at the moment. So we've got Dow Jones down 2.3%. The NASDAQ down 2.3%. The S&P down just over 2%. Where's the Russell 2000? Russell 2000 down 3.33%. Bond yields are also up. The bonds are selling off. Yields are up. America's up by 1%, 10-year. The UK was up by, where's the UK? 10-year's up by 3.3%. That's a big jump today and yesterday. Yesterday it was up by 2%, another 3% today. So that's not good. So I think when they start feeling the pain, he'll start thinking about what's going on here and stop the bombing. You wait until, you know, they're only, what, 2% off their highs, 3% off their highs. You wait until they start getting at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10% or more. Then he'll start to reconfigure or walk it back, deramp it. He'll find some off-ramps here somewhere and get back. Because up to America, if America stops bombing and Israel stops bombing, it'll stop. And they'll probably will come to the table and chat. And that's what he's probably saying. They'll probably, how his get-out clause will be, they want to talk. They can't handle what we've done. We've decapitated them. They have no now military power. They want to come back to the table. And I don't blame them. They have no choice. America is the strongest military in the world. Because the longer this war goes on, the more the markets and the economy will suffer. So if you look at the Straits of Hormuz, where a lot of oil, there's no pipelines there, it's mostly all sea freight that comes out with these tankers. And I think it's about 20% of the world oil and gas come up from there. If they get bombarding this area, and in fact, right now, I was listening to this guy, expert in shipping, on, I think it was Wake Up the Money, he was saying that insurance rates for cargo ships now, oil tankers, have gone up by 5 times. To the point where it's not economically viable. And they'll probably got more. That's just a start. If it carries on. If it's too much risk there, they'll just make the, you know, to the point where it's not, you know, it's a good chance you'll lose your money, the insurance company. So they just whack the fees up so high that they'll have to go around the Cape of Good Hope, run Africa. And they've also got the Suez Canal, you know, because that's, what was it, the, what's the guys who are bombing that part of the Iranians? The terrorist group. I can't think of what they're called. But anyway, so that's pretty shut as well. And what people don't understand as well, this guy on, well, I don't know why I heard this guy, but he was saying what people don't understand is that the Middle East is a massive hub for air freight, with Emirates and Etihad accounting for a decent chunk of global air freight because it's in the Middle East, it's in the middle of the world. So a huge amount of cargo goes through there on air freight. So you've got that seizing up because there's no flights going in and out. You've got the straits there being shut off. So what you'll have here is you know, companies' freight times almost doubling because they have to go around the Cape Good Hope of Africa. And this costs money. This push up inflation, and that's not good for world trade, of course. And then interest rates won't come down, they'll probably have to go up. So the longer this goes on for, the more damage it is for the world economy, and therefore global stock markets, and therefore the US, because they are the biggest capital markets. The markets will put the most pressure on Trump more than anything else. Well, that, sadly, I think, and human lives have been lost, American lives have been lost. He'll pay more attention to the markets than human lives have been lost. So try not to panic. while right now this seems like there's no end to this as yet, or it could be 4 weeks, I can't see it going 4 weeks. The pain point will be too great on Trump and the administration. And they will rebound. They will rebound very, you know, very quickly once this stops, and quite aggressively. Of course, the bigger the fall, and the longer it goes on for, the bigger the rebound. But if you're feeling the pressure, take some off. If you're in good companies or investing in good businesses, then maybe if you're feeling a bit of pressure, maybe take a bit off. Or maybe you sell one or two stocks if you're not happy with them. But remember, some of the best days. If you miss out on the 10 best days over a long term, you can cut your returns by about 50%. Because it's a double whammy. Because 78% or 78-80% of the best days happen in close proximity within a week or so of the worst days. And so normally what happens is, people can't take any more, they sell, and that's the bottom, and then all of a sudden it rallies. They sell at the bottom, they buy back in after it's had a really breakneck recovery, whipsaw rally. So be careful, it will happen, it will rebound, and it can be over as fast as it started. One other thing I want to talk about is Reeves' spring budget. I was so annoyed at watching that today. I literally was shouting at the telly. Because it's just the lies, just the absolute nonsense she's coming out with. She basically lied through her teeth about her achievements. And do you know what one of the biggest achievements she was talking about was? Interest rates coming down. Interest rates coming down? What are you talking about? She said they've come down for the fastest rate in 17 years. Yeah, we were on an upward cycle in interest rates because of inflation last time. Because, of course, that's not down to you, though. It's independent with the Bank of England. They're in charge of interest rates. And the reason why interest rates come... By the way, they were going to put interest rates down last year. Because of Reeves, so any influence she has indirectly, she's had a negative impact on it. Because they were going to come down last year, and then she upped costs for employers, and then she upped taxes, she put wages up, national insurance up, all that stuff. And even because of that, which is inflationary, the Bank of England now, because she's basically snuffed out any type of growth whatsoever, unemployment is at a 10-year high, more than a 10-year high for 16, 24-year-olds. It's a 5-year high generally. That is worrying for the Bank of England. We could go into deflation if we continue the way we are, because our economy is basically flatlining, essentially. People are not employing anyone. People are laying people off. And so she was boasting about interest rates coming down. Listen, Reeves, the reason why interest rates are coming down is because the Bank of England need to bring down interest rates to try and get some life into the UK economy. This is, this is the jumpstart pads on an ICU patient, basically. He's been rushed into ICU and their heart has stopped pretty much. And interest rates are doing that, reducing them. But you nearly put a spanner in the works by your only influence was basically ramping up inflation, which is not what the Bank of England want. We're in serious danger of having no growth and inflation, stagflation pretty much. So just annoying that she couldn't go, it's just standing up there. It's almost like it's set up the House of Commons to have this combat kind of experience in, opposite parties, isn't it? And regardless of what's achieved and what's not achieved, you have to stand up then, front it up in front of the opposite party. And it has no relation to the truth whatsoever. I would give anything for an honest politician to stand up and say, listen, unemployment's not good. We're working on that. We're trying to sort this out. We're trying to get things going. We're trying to get the economy going. It's not been the best of times. By all means, the economy is not in a good position. And try and move it forward in some way, rather than just lie about it, saying, oh, we've done this and that, and what we're doing is paying off. It's not paying off at all. Growth has been revised down, I think, a couple of times, hasn't it? And yet she's saying, we've got the fastest growth in European G7. She did say the G7 previously, but now she's saying European G7. And even that's questionable. But if you look at what's happening in Europe, Then it's tank. I don't think we beat them in Spain, are we? But Germany's dreadful. Anyway, let's have a quick look at the markets here. FTSE 100 down 3.17% at 10,438. My fund, my dividend fund, has taken an equally big hit today, and it was down yesterday as well. I have been buying a little bit more because it's a dividend-paying fund, you know, so I think they pay quarterly dividends, and I think the ex-dividend date's on the 13th or 14th, or maybe 15th this month, so I've been topping up a little bit there. Stock 600 down 3.1%. S&P 500 down 1.75%. It needs more pain. The American markets, they've had this buy-the-dip mentality for so long, it'll take a lot to break it, you know? You need a real big flush out here. And in fact, if you look at the S&P 500, it has closed below this recent support of 6,800. It's now 6,760. We'll see where ends the trade today. But I do feel Americans are just into this area where, well, of course, we've also got the backdrop of the worrying spend on AI from these big tech companies and the interrelational revenue generation that exists between them. And of course, all it needs is for a couple of these companies to post less than flattering figures, and you've got a domino effect, I suppose. So there is that in the background. There's also, I think, what's his name? The ex-guy of Goldman Sachs came out and said he smells like a financial crisis is happening. And I think he was blaming private credit markets. So that's interesting. Anyway, what else we got? Small cap. FTSE small cap. Well, that's 1.2% yesterday, 3.1% a day. That was at an all-time high recently. 7691, down 3.1%. What else are we looking at? Let's look at the Dow Jones here, down almost 2%. Bitcoin, it's pretty much flat, Bitcoin. I think it's maybe a bottom here in Bitcoin, because that's not tanking along with the NASDAQ, which normally does. Maybe divergence there happening. 68,300, down 0.75%. What else is it? NASDAQ is down 1.86%, so they've come off their lows at the moment. The FTSE 250 down 3.5%, at 22,607. That's a big drop for indices, isn't it? It's down... down 1.4% yesterday, down 3.5% a day. Wow, that's a big dip. What's funny is I have a lot of people say, go to gold. No, please look back on the charts. Whenever there's a big sell-off, the only thing people go to is cash. There's no safe haven on a big sell-off. People sell their gold stocks, everything like that. I don't believe gold is the safe haven. It's not. Not when there's a crash or sell-off. It generally, everything. And at the moment, you've got, you know, the dollar being the safe haven a little bit, period of cash. So, Dixie, yeah, that's up 0.75%. Dollar index up to 99. And considering this is down to 95 back in January, it's rallied strongly. So where the dollar strengthens, of course, all commodities weaken. So if you're in a commodity stock, saying, why is it selling off? It's largely because the dollar's strengthening, which makes it even more surprising. Bitcoin isn't down further, actually. What else have we got? Indices. FTSE All Share Index down 3%, 5,600. The All World Index down 2.8%. Wow, to 673. The AIM All Share down 3.7%. That's quite a big drop in indices. Let's go to some commodities. Brent crude, in fact, it's down a little bit. Any news out? Because it's up to $84.3 a barrel. It's quite a, so it was up 9% yesterday, up 7% a day. So it's moving quite well. Let's scroll down. Gold down 3.5% to 5,125. Copper down 1.75%. Silver is down 6.4%. Anything else? No, that's pretty good. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The 9 companies in the last 2 days on the Microcap database. But you can only see those if you remember. Yes. I spoke enough today. So if you're a podcast listener, check it out. if you remember, on the website, sharepickers.com. Oh, by the way, what's quite interesting is that cab payments, which I do hold a bit of cab payments as a recovery play. And what I quite like is that they've, I think, a very low-ball offer. They've made an official cash offer, this company, Helios Fund, of $1.15 a share. Now, of course, that was equivalent to about 84 pence about a week back, or 2 weeks back when they first announced it. Now, because the dollar's strengthened, that's about 86, 87 pence, something. Keeps strengthening, dollar, I don't mind, because that, you know, that makes the price go up. So it's the cab is hitting close to its all-time highs here, of not all-time highs, 52-week highs. So, yeah. I'll do one more. Synetics had a bit of a fall today, and of course announced their final results. And 2025 results were good. So they had 22% top-line growth to 68.1 million. Net profit 3.7%, up 17%. Net cash up 48% to 14.1 million. Free cash flow 6.9 million, up 4%. Now, they say revenue performance in FY26 expected to be around 10% lower than FY25, with growth offset by the absence of significant one-off contract delivered in FY25. Double-digit revenue growth expected in FY27, with EBITDA anticipated to exceed normalised FY25 levels once the impact of non-recurring contract is excluded. By FY28, the group anticipates further acceleration of revenue growth and EBITDA margins as the strategic initiative implemented in 25 and 26 creates a robust platform for accelerating returns and sustainable growth. Basically, the broker says that SNX is moving from a bespoke project-driven model to a scalable product-led software platform, which, if successful, would enhance revenue quality and margin potential. While the shift represents a short-term headwind to profitability, long-term growth opportunity far outweighs this. And so, yeah. So 26, like I said, down probably 10%, the revenue, expected 62 million, but they're not going to be profitable. Flat net profit, zero. But for 27, they expect 12% top line growth to 69.5 million. And you got net profit growth to 3.2 million. Now, at 187 a share, right? That would put them on a PE of 10 and EV earnings of 5 for 2027. And for 2028, top line growth of 15% to 80 million. Net profit growth of 94% to 6.2 million, a PE of 5, EV earnings of 3. Now, there's a lot of if, there's a big if really in this happening. So they have this change of strategy to focus more on software and therefore high level of recurring revenue will mean zero profits 26, but hopefully, the strategy will translate into growth in 27, 28. If it does pay off, there's double-digit growth on a decent valuation there. It's very cheap. If it does pay off. But, of course, they are transitioning away from a bespoke model, more hardware to more software occurring. So it may take some time. Well, it is going to take some time. But there's also that question, if it could happen. If it does happen, then there's a decent upside here. But in the meantime, they've got a decent balance sheet, pay a dividend. But like I said, it's taken a bit of a hit. But at the moment, this is, they are now, what, the 31 million market cap was enterprise value of 17 million, 14 million in cash. Pay like 2.7% dividend. Not too bad. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening. Don't panic. These markets, it's normal procedure. This is normal, ladies and gentlemen. It's a bit of turbulence. You know, this is not getting shot out of the sky. This is a bit of turbulence the markets are meant to have. All right. That's it. I don't know when I'll speak next. I've lost my enthusiasm a little bit for podcasts. I'll get back into it sooner or later. But, yeah. There we are. Speaky next weeky or tomorrow. Sharepickers.com. Check it out.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.